So family, if you'd open your Bibles to Acts in chapter 9, we're going to return to our unpacking of verse 31. I'm told that you have message notes that you can download, and I hope that you've done that. We're returning to our study of 2 weeks ago. Last week, as you know, it was Resurrection Sunday, and we were looking at Jesus and answering the question, was he a man? Was he a myth? Or the Messiah? And we already knew who he is, but we were hoping to be able to introduce this wonderful Savior of ours to other people on that wonderful day when he rose from the dead. So I want to bring us back to looking at supernatural peace is yours. When you confessed and repented of your sins, when you told the Lord Jesus Christ you were sorry for those things that you knew were sinful, when you told him you wanted to follow him and he was going to have to help you do that, he gave you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came and made you this wonderful, brand new creation in Christ Jesus for great works that he would be with you to go and do, to celebrate his life and to accomplish more of his plan, he also gave you the power, the ability to do that in God the Holy Spirit. He came to live in you. He came to be a part of you. He came to lead you. He came to teach you. He is with you always. And with his coming into your life, he brought all of you his wonderful characteristics. He brought you love and joy and peace and pain. Did you see that? There is love and joy and peace. They came with him, and patience. He's right over there between joy and patience. Now, you got your fingers up? Put your fingers up like that. You know, stick them up. You know, I've got a mask on. I want your money. Assume the position. No. So here we have our guns out, but we have love and joy and peace and patience. And patience over here is looking right over here at peace. Grab a hold of peace. You got that peace? You've got his peace. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He has given you his love, that wonderful, unconditional love. You can't run out of it. You can't give it all away. You could be given his love away all day, every day, and you still wouldn't have put a dent in it. It can't be all given away. But you have his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness. It's hard to talk through this mask. And self-control. And I'm being self-controlled. I want to rip this thing off and stamp on it. But at any rate, I'm submitting to the authorities over me, and so should all of us. But we're looking again at this wonderful peace. As Annette shared with you, she was talking to you about her favorite verse, John 14:27. I shared that with you 2 weeks ago. He said, peace I leave with you. He's given you the Holy Spirit, family. Peace I leave with you. He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, because that peace goes away. But the peace that is part of the Holy Spirit, part of his character, you have that for all of eternity. And it's true. He said, let not your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Now, family, I still know, I still hear people in the church family saying, they're afraid. Don't. It's kind of like telling my wife she shouldn't feel in a particular way. Her feelings are her feelings. I understand that. But do you understand that Jesus has said, I am with you always? Yes. Now, what about that says that he isn't with you. When is he isn't with you? Maybe when you go to the restroom? No, he's there too. Now, I don't want to freak anybody out, but he's with you always. He said he'll never desert you. He'll never leave you. He's with you until the end of eternity. He's there. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He is God, and he will keep you safe. So family, we need to be trusting in him. Well, looking at verse 31 again, there in your notes, hopefully, or in your Bibles, it says here, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace. They had that eirene, that tranquility, that harmony type of peace because they were all reconciled. All of them were reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have peace with God. And with that, they also had the sense that they have the divine favor of our Heavenly Father upon them. And that's what I'm hoping and what the Holy Spirit is just keeps pushing me into sharing with all of you, especially those of you who have not met the Lord Jesus Christ yet. Is that this peace is available and he wants you to take advantage of it. Amen. He wants you to get it. Got it?
Got it.
Good. Okay. So he goes on and says, and walking. We know walking means living, you know, and living in the fear, the phobos, the reverence, the respect, the honor of the Lord, and in the comfort, the comfort. Do you know the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Listen carefully if you don't know that wonderful comfort of the Holy Spirit. I'll be telling you more about that. The comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. What multiplied? The church was multiplying. You see, people who make up the church, we're the church people. We are new creations. We have the wonderful attributes of the Holy Spirit in us. And that really flabbergasts people. They are so warmly, lovingly, joyfully different people. And lots of people decide, how is it that you're this way? And then you get to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I shared with you in John 12:27 2 weeks ago, and Mark 14:32-37, in preparation for Good Friday as well as Resurrection Sunday. We see Jesus here. Now, we know Jesus is the Son of God. Well, those of us who have come to faith, we accept that. But the Son of God was not just God. He is the God-man. He was fully God, and he was fully man. And what we see here in this passage in John 12 and Mark 14, we see the man. The man, he is hurting. He is hurting physically, emotionally, mentally, and he is carrying this huge burden. He is going to be facing crucifixion. He asks his father, can't this cup be taken from me? But he knows in the asking, this is the very reason he was born. Not for Christmas and celebrations, that kind of thing. He was born to come into the world, and his cup was to go to the cross, there suffer the death we deserve, receive the punishment we deserve, and pay for our sins. And he did that. He did that. But it was crushing him. We looked here and we looked at the Greek text very closely, and we saw that he was depressed, he was overwhelmed with sorrow, such a burden on him that it might even cause him to faint. And in reality, we see at one point, he falls down. He is so overburdened. But then the key to this, going back in your notes, I told you that there are four things that we're going to be discovering in this verse. And the first was down here where it says the way, meaning the church, us, continued to experience four things. The first one, the one we're in, is the inward strengthening through Jesus' peace, through Jesus' eirene, through Jesus' shalom. The eirene being the Greek and shalom being the Hebrew. Here he is, and he wants us to know how he got his eirene, his shalom back. And we see him there. This thing is just terrible, moving around on my face. He prayed. Why is prayer something the American church, many in our own church, really, you have a hard time with it? Why do they have a hard time with prayer? Why don't they want to sit down and talk to this magnificent person who is our Savior? Why is that? I don't understand. He wants us to pray. We're in the midst of this trial, this trouble, this virus right now, but that's not even what's troubling most of you. For many of you, it's because there's something going on between the husband and the wife that's negative. There's something going on between the parents and the kids. It's negative. And there's something that's going on, like, I'm going to lose my job because we've been out so long due to this virus, and I may lose my house. Not only that, my job, but my house too. And Jesus is saying, look, I was carrying your sins, and I was carrying all of Ron's, and I was carrying all of Eugene's, and I was carrying all of EJ's, and I was carrying all of Barbara's, and I was carrying all of Chris's, and I was carrying all of this sin. And they're really bad people. He carried all this sin. But the way he got his peace back, and he's going to go to the cross. The way he got his peace back was by talking to his heavenly Father, laying things out for him. And then he being the living Word of God, we have our Bibles. He'll talk back to us. He will speak into our lives. We will understand more and more of why we go through the things we're going through, or why we get certain gifts that he provides us, or why he takes away a gift that we weren't hoping to lose. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I left you with, therefore, since we have been justified, declare not guilty, we've gone to court, we're before the judge, we've been adjudicated free of our sin by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone and what he did on the cross alone. We've been justified by faith, so we have peace, we have this tranquility. We have this harmonizing with God, but not through anything that we've done. We have it through our Lord Jesus Christ because of what he went through, that horrific experience and dying on the cross. As a believer focuses on this reality, he or she can experience supernatural peace. In the midst of trouble and fear, we can enjoy, if you will. We will sense this wonderful eirene peace in our lives, just as Jesus did, if we find ourselves doing what Jesus did. Pray. Pray. Don't think about the devil. Don't think about the virus. Don't think about the hurt that's going on. Pray. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Let him warmly draw you to himself. You go to be with him, but let him draw you into himself. Jesus said, my peace, there in John 14, 27. It is the same peace that kept him calm in the face of the mockery, the scorn, the hostility, the hatred, the betrayal, and the death that he was going to face after his arrest. That Irene peace was his from the time of the arrest to when he was marched to the courtyard of the high priest and began to go through those three kangaroo courts and through the scourging and the crucifixion itself. In 1 Peter, you see there in your notes, chapter 2, verse 23, Peter, remember, Peter was in the courtyard. Peter was there with our Lord. He was with the crowd, and he was there denying the Lord Jesus Christ, remember? He was saying, I don't know this guy. I had nothing to do with him. But Peter, he writes here in this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it says, when Jesus was reviled, think about that word, reviled. I don't use it very often. Maybe you do. But when you're reviled, what do you do? Think about that. What do you do? The Greek term here, loidereo, it means to be speaking a highly, infused insult to somebody. It is to be speaking strongly an insult into their face. And this is what was going on here. Peter said when Jesus was reviled, because he was there, he heard them. And he heard what Jesus wasn't doing. He wasn't speaking back to them. He didn't even say anything. He'd already said it at the Last Supper to Peter. You're going to deny me three times. And Peter denied that. Of course, how would he know? He's not God. But when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When I have been reviled in the more in the far past, I've reviled in return. I've insulted right back. That's sinful. That's just pure sin. That's not humility. That's arrogance. That's defending me, myself, and I. Remember the unholy Trinity. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, and this term here for suffering means he's in pain. And when he's in pain, he did not threaten. And the word here for threaten is apelio. And it means that to do harm to someone. He did not threaten to do harm to someone. He could have called the angels down. He could have called down one angel and taken care of everybody. But he didn't threaten. Now, had it been me in my BC days, it probably would have been more like this. Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, you just wait to the end, dude, because I'm going to kick you into hell. I'll get my just desserts then. But you see, that's arrogance again. That's wanting me to be placated. No, no. That's not what we're supposed to conduct ourselves as Christians. We're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, when he suffered pain in his life, he did not threaten to hurt anybody. But continued. He continued entrusting. In other words, he was delivering himself up to a higher authority. And how do I know that? Partly from the term that we see here, but he continued entrusting himself to him, God the Father, who judges justly, to the very one who can distinguish correctly, crystal clear, between that which is evil and that which is holy and right. Humanly speaking, family, looking at this passage and the passages we've looked at, the provocation to retaliate during the arrest, during that time that he's going through the kangaroo courts, as he faces the high priest, as he faces Herod, as he faces Pilate. Because of all the provocation they were forcing on him, spitting in his face, pulling out tufts of his beard, threatening him, through all of these things, the scourgings and the crucifixion, you have to understand that all of these things are to the extreme. And yet he remained quiet. He remained quiet. One of you in the church, you sent me a video to look at. And it was of a sheep shearer shearing a sheep. And he said, he then gave a passage of scripture how this is brought in to think about sinners. But what I thought about was not about sinners. I was thinking about Jesus. As he stood before these people, as a sheep before its shearer, he said nothing. He said nothing. So Jesus' peace provides believers with the serenity as well as the freedom from worry and anxiety that is unaffected and triumphs over the most difficult of circumstances, because our focus is on Jesus. Our focus is on our Heavenly Father. Our focus is not on the problem. Amen. Whatever that problem is. Being lonely, of wanting to be married and thinking you'd be married by now. Some of you need to understand there are wives out there willing to give you their husbands. In the midst of the trials and temptations of life, believers do well to be, look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. Believers do well to be looking to Jesus. And as we read that in the English, it's just too tame for me, because the word that is being used there is an athletic term. And it's talking about like two runners running alongside. There's Ron Seidel and the guy from Cleveland High School, and he's called the Rabbit. They're in a cross-country heat. They are running. We have been running for almost 3 miles, and we're both exhausted. But I'm number one for Reseda High. He's number one for Cleveland. And we are just inching it out. We are taking the longest strides, and our tongues are literally hanging out of our mouths. We are almost done, and we're just running and running because our focus is right there in front of us. There's the goal. That's the prize. The one that goes through the chute first wins. I beat Rabbit. I beat Rabbit. I did. He beat me the next time, but I beat him this time. Our focus, it says here, is to be looking to Jesus. We're to be straining, looking. We're to be focusing our attention, because where our focus goes, or what goes? Yes, our energy flows. And we're to be looking to Jesus, the founder, the leader, the captain, the pioneer of and perfecter of our faith. For the joy, the victory that Jesus is going to have on the other side of the cross. Who for the joy and the victory not only over getting his glory again, but the fact that he has victory over death. He has victory over death. For the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross. He went through the crucifixion. He went through the hellishness of that execution of himself, despising the shame, because only criminals are going to go to the cross. Not a righteous man, not the God-man who is nothing but righteousness, but there on the cross, he exchanged his righteousness for our unrighteousness. He took our unrighteousness and gave us his holiness. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated. Oh, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, where he should be. Amen. Jesus is our primary example, family. Those of you that are listening in, Jesus is our focus. Jesus is our primary example to follow when it comes to persevering through pain, through trouble, through COVID-19, whatever it is, he is our example. He went through it. He was a man who talked to his Abba Father and entrusted himself to him fully, fully, even going to the cross. It is only in looking to our Lord Jesus that any disciple, his disciples then, us now, you who have received him as your Lord and Savior, it is only in looking to the Lord Jesus as any disciple can you find peace and that settled confidence in the midst of hardship. So the way was going to discover four things in this 31st verse of chapter 9. The first thing was we have an inward strengthening through Jesus' peace, his shalom, his eirene. It's through him. This is why we desperately, if we're not doing it, need to finally listen to your shepherd. Listen to this guy that is just pleading on behalf of the most glorious, wonderful relationship a human being can have with his or her creator. And that is to get into what we have learned over the last several weeks about the gnosko, to have that wonderful DPE. Say that with me. DPE. We need to get into that wonderful, direct, personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we're in this DPE with him, the Holy Spirit, he teaches us wonderful new things. We sense his presence in our lives. It is real, family. It is not some sort of mystical, magical fantasy. You actually sense him in your life as you should. And you'll enjoy him. And the two of you will have the most marvelous of conversations. And you open up this wonderful document that he has protected over the centuries, thousands of years, and he will talk to you and he will build you up. You will be encouraged. You will be optimistic. It is a fear that you don't have a human kind of fear doing. You find yourself enjoying him from this proper attitude and relationship. And likewise, not only will prayer lend itself to this great attitude, an attitude of tremendous gratitude, as well as this relationship that is meant to be intimate, but prayer is going to bring you into the comfort, that encouragement, the paraklesis. The paraclete is the Holy Spirit, and this paraklesis, this encouragement comes from him. It's provided by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be feeling this wonderful new creation that you are. He's with you always. He'll never desert you. You have no reason. No reasons are being given to you. If you're finding yourself constantly in fear and in anxiety, then you're not walking with him in the spirit. You're in the flesh. Either God is true or God is a liar. You decide. I know him to be true. I'm not just trusting him with my eternal salvation. I have to trust him with my 24-hour days. And so do you. It's time to make that switch if you haven't heard that paradigm before. And then lastly, there'll be numeric growth. Numeric growth. What do you mean? I'm going to split like an amoeba or something? No. There'll be numeric growth because of your direct, personal, involvement with the Lord, you're going to be different. His attributes come forth. You can tell someone who doesn't spend much time with our wonderful Savior, because they show the deeds of the flesh first and strongly. But you can always tell the person who spends copious amounts of time with our wonderful Savior, because they manifest His attributes. His. That's not to say that the deeds of the flesh don't sneak in once in a while. But you can tell the person who is genuinely filled with the Holy Spirit. And you see, that person is going to be the person that our Heavenly Father uses to go forth and to share the life-giving good news with other people. And it's going to be that Christian that's going to see people giving their lives to Jesus, coming to faith, going to be there to greet them in heaven. This is the person you and I are being called to be here in verse 39. If you'd look at your notes, I'm going to finish with just this comment. The interesting fact, as we look at this chapter, the church was still confined to the Jews, half-Jews, the Samaritans, and proselytes, the Judaism, who became Christians, with the one exception that I believe was the eunuch from Ethiopia. But all was in readiness for the extension of the church to a new segment of the world's population. All of us non-Jews. Well, next time we'll pick up with the observation. Maybe you'll be reading ahead. Maybe you'll go back over these notes. I hope so. But there's these four things that are yours. They belong to you. Don't you want them? Don't you want to enjoy them? Of course you do. The people here, they want it. More of it. And they can have it, just like you. Get it?
Got it.
Good. Let's pray. Oh, my goodness, Father. Thank you so much for reaching out to us this morning with your desire for us to get down on our knees and find ourselves enjoying you in prayer, or sitting in a comfortable couch with our Bibles in our laps and speaking to you about those things that have troubled us, and you're now making clear we shouldn't be troubled about these things. You are our protector. You are the lover of our souls. You are the one that is going to see to our every need. You told us to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, and you would provide for us a roof over our heads, food for our tummies. You would provide clothing for us. You would provide everything that we need. You have a plan. You're working your plan. And you have us in your plan. And nothing is going to happen to us that you haven't already foreordained or already know about and are allowing it, because you know in the end it'll be for our individual greater good. You're crazy about us. And that's why you gave us Jesus. And Jesus is crazy about us, because he was willing to die on that cross for us. And the Holy Spirit, he has got to be crazy about us, because he's the one that has to endure us every day, day in and day out, because he's with us always. And for this, we thank you. Thank you for your desire to be intimate with us and for us to feel comfort and strength, and knowing we can be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. So it's in His name and in His strength that we make this prayer. Amen.